Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. I want to read you a couple verses. Get started here. We're late. I got to get going. Out of 1 Chronicles. You was probably just reading 1 Chronicles the other day, wasn't you? 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I'm going to read you verses 9 and 10. It says, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.' And Jabez called on God, the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain.' So God granted him what he requested." Help me, Holy Spirit, I need you. How many remember maybe 20 years ago the book of Jabez? Anybody ever remember that? A few of you? This book of Jabez was published. And how many don't remember that far back? Some of you aren't 20 years old yet, so you couldn't. But this little Bruce Wilkinson wrote this book about the prayer of Jabez. And when this book came out, people all over the world started praying this prayer of Jabez. And miracles and miraculous things started happening all over the world, to the point one day they even mentioned it on the 5:30 news, the national news. Seriously. I was sitting there and I couldn't believe they said that, I don't remember what they called it, a fad or something, but they said that this, and they just mentioned this book of Jabez and said people all over the world are reporting that God's doing miraculous things in their life. Now, I'm not going to read you the book today, or I'm not going to preach you the book, but I've been studying this for a month now. So your message today is at least a month, been a month in the hopper. And all these past few weeks I've been trying to build up to this. But I just want to give you some thoughts. And to be truthful with you, I've studied so many things and read so many things about Jabez and this prayer that I'm just really not sure exactly what's going to come out. But will you receive it? Huh? How many want to be blessed? How many don't want to be blessed? Oh, I don't see any hands. Okay, good, good. We're all on the same page then. How many didn't vote? Let me do that again. How many want to be blessed? Okay, how many believe God will bless you? I've been working 3 weeks on trying to get us to believe, okay? But what is it about this prayer? Now, I don't know if you've looked at 1 Chronicles, but it starts off giving family trees. How many, when you're reading the Bible and you get to so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, how many of you just really pay real close attention to that and read it real hard? I kind of start skimming them, don't you? But this thing, way back at the beginning of Chronicles, they start with the family tree of Adam. And they work it through, and he gets to Judah, and it's so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and 40-some names down, he gets to Jabez. And what is it that caused the author to stop and say, "But now Jabez, he was more honorable than them all"? What was it that caught God's attention? If there's a way that Jabez prayed here and it got God. And then as soon as he gets through telling about Jabez, two little bitty verses, he goes right on. So-and-so begot so-and-so, so-and-so begot so-and-so. But something got God's attention. Something got the author's attention. So I just got to thinking. I just wanted to talk to you today about a prayer that moves God. And if Jabez did something here, if he prayed something here that moved God, I want to learn what it is. How about you? Because I want God to move. I want all God's got for me. Huh? I mean, I don't want to get up there and find anything left over that I'm supposed to have down here and I didn't get. And I'm already way behind. So I got a lot of catching up to do. And so are you. You're behind too. So why don't we spend the next few months trying to catch up? Huh? Trying to go after God, trying to get all he's got for us. Now, your enthusiasm's overwhelming me today. There was more enthusiasm last week when we had 2-degree weather, you know, but I guess get up to 60, it bums everybody out, huh? How did Jabez, let's just look at what Jabez prayed here. The first thing he prayed, that you would bless me indeed. Now, Christian religious mentality, you know, I mean, the way we think, we feel guilty if we ask God to bless us. Now I want him to bless you, so I'll ask him to bless you before I ask him to bless me. But now what is it that moved God here? I mean, surely if Jabez was going to start praying, he'd start asking God to help the hungry kids in Africa. Huh? And help all the poor people in India. No, that's not what Jabez did. He started off and he said, God of Israel, bless me. Bless me. Whew. That's kind of bold. Kind of bold. See, now I need to learn how to pray the way it moves Father. Jabez prayed a prayer here. See, to bless means to, when he said to bless me, it means to ask for or to impart supernatural favor. Now, how many think if you walking around with supernatural favor, everything's going to fall your direction? You with me? You're going to have to get more excited than this. Huh? I don't want you to try to be a cheerleader, but I want you to pay attention. Supernatural favor. Father, give me supernatural favor. I want you to understand the intensity of what he's asking here. See, I'm asking God for more of your unlimited goodness. I want all you got for me. I'm not going to settle for anything less. I want it. That's what Jabez was praying. God, give me your unlimited favor. Father, give me everything you got. Bless me. Bless me. I was reminded of a prayer that Moses prayed in Exodus 13. And I'll just point that out. We're not going to put those scriptures on, but study this later. Read this during the week. Exodus 13. It says, now God's promising Moses the promised land and everything. And he says, then Moses said to the Lord, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know who you will send with me. Now listen, this is Moses talking to God. He said, now God, you said that you know me and that you have found grace in your sight for me. He says, now therefore I pray, if I've found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. Do you understand what Moses is saying here? Father, you said, you told me to go up and take this people into the promised land, but you didn't tell me if you were going to go with me or not. God, you told me that I found favor and grace in your sight. If that's really true, God, then let me see you. Let me know you. Are you with me? And then God said to him, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said back to God, if your presence doesn't go with me, then don't even bring us up out of here. If you're not gonna be with me, God, if you're not gonna give me all you got, God, if you're not gonna put, you know, if you're not gonna put your hand on me and bless me, if you're not gonna be with me, then I'm not going. I want you to see the attitude of this prayer. It isn't, oh God, would you bless me today? Moses is putting a demand on what God said, on his word. Now, if I get too loud, turn me down a little bit. I don't want to be screaming at people. But he goes on here and says, so the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please, please, God, show me your glory. Then God said, I'll make my goodness pass before you, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. I want you to understand what he's saying here. Moses is saying, give me all you got, God, or I'm not going. Do what you said, God, or, you know, if you really said that, then show me. We're listening to junk the devil tells us and religion tells us, and we're afraid to put a demand on God's word. But Moses isn't afraid. He said, okay, Father, I'm getting ready to go do what you told me, but if you don't go with me, show me your way. Let me see you. Let me have your presence. Let me have your glory. Because if I go, me and you are going together. Now, I didn't mean to spend this much time on this, but in verse 10 tells the results. God says here, he says, God renews a covenant with him. God says here in verse 10, he says, in 34, he says, behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvelous or miraculous things such as not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. Do you hear what that attitude did with God? That attitude moved God to the point. He said, okay, I'm going to do something so miraculous. I'm going to do something that nobody's ever seen in the world before you and your people. I'm praying that there's somebody listening to me. And God, they're going to grab a hold of this, and God's going to do something in your life, something, use you, and do something so miraculous in your life that nobody's ever seen it before. Oh, I wouldn't know how to pray that way. Folks, this is how Moses prayed, and Jesus hadn't even come yet. He hadn't even come and defeated the enemy yet. We hadn't even got the new and better covenant yet. You with me? I want you to see the boldness that he prayed with. I want you to see the attitude that he prayed. That's what Jabez was doing here. Jabez was saying, God, I want all you got. Bless me. He was putting a demand on God's promise. Now listen to me. He wasn't demanding God do anything. He was demanding that word work in his life. Because God already said in Isaiah 55, he said, my word will do what I sent it to do. It'll perform. It won't come back void. You with me? And he said, that's the kind of intensity he was praying with. Let me read you something out of Deuteronomy. Where's Deuteronomy? Now I want you to, we've read some of this, but this is in Deuteronomy chapter 8. God says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water and of fountains of springs that flow in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines of and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity and in which you will lack nothing." Now the promise, Galatians says the promise is we're in Christ Jesus, so we're Abraham's seed and we're heirs to the promises, right? Okay. And a land whose stones are iron and whose hills you can dig copper. "And when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God, bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you." Now I want you to see what God's promising here. But I want you to see what this promise produces because then God starts on a little jag here of going, "But when this happens, don't forget me. When this happens, don't forget who gave you the land. When this happens in your life, when this thing gets so big and this prosperity and this blessing begins to happen in your life, don't forget where it came from." You with me? And then let me read you two verses here, 12 and 13. This is what came as a result of what God said. He says, "Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied." He says, now when that starts happening, don't forget who did it. Down on down he says, "And you'll remember that it's the Lord your God who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers." I want you to see, to believe. God's nature is to bless. And to believe anything else is heresy. To not believe God for what he said and not believe that his word is true, and to not act on that and to pull that blessing into our life with our faith, to not do that is to insult God. God's nature is to bless. Can I just say something? God's wealthy. I know that shocks some of you, but God's wealthy. Some of you in the back didn't hear me. God's wealthy. He's wealthy. And if you have lots of wealth and you can't share it with anybody, it's not any fun. Huh? Oh, it'll be fun for a while, but after a while, you'll just get bored. We don't have because we don't ask, James said. Jesus said something. He said, "Ask and it'll be given to you." And he said that multiple times. He'll give you the desire. In the New Testament, the word ask means to demand. Not demand God. You don't have to demand God. He already put his word here. You just demand that this word work. "Father, I brought my tithes and offerings into the storehouse, and I give you praise because you're opening up the windows of heaven for me. I give you glory and honor and praise because you're rebuking the devourer for me." Hear me? God says, come on, prove me. He says that over and over and over through this book. Prove me, prove me. What's he saying? Man, just dare to put a demand on this word and see what it'll do. Jabez says, Lord, that you would bless me. The very first thing he asked for is bless me. He said, bless me indeed. What he is actually saying was, is don't just bless me a little bit, God. Bless me a bunch. Huh? Oh, if you just send me a little blessing. God doesn't know little blessings. When you do that or say that or think that or have that mentality, all you do is open the door and enable the enemy to stifle and cut down your load before it gets to you and steal what God's got for you. You with me? Proverbs 10:22 says, in the Amplified Classic, says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes you truly rich. And he adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it. The blessing of the Lord will make you rich, and nothing you can do will make you richer. I mean, if you got it all, how can you get any more? Well, I hope all of you have been the last few weeks and been listening. You know, you don't just change your mentality in a few days. It takes you about 30 days to change a habit. And a mentality that's been built into us all our lives, in a religious thinking, a religious mentality, it just takes a while to beat that out. And the only thing that'll push it out is the Word of God. You see, there's something in you that wants to be blessed. You're just afraid to let it out. Something in you wants to be blessed. You just don't know if you should. I'm telling you, you should. That's what Jabez did. He said, bless me. And when God told Abraham he was going to bless him, when he gave him the promises that are to come on us because we're saved and in Christ Jesus, when he told him, he said, I'm going to bless you, but I'm going to make you a blessing. God wants, listen to me, God wants his goodness and abundance to be on you in such excess that everybody that gets around you, it flows over onto them. The government wasn't designed. The government, God didn't design the government to take care of the people. He designed his people to tap into what he's got and to make everything work. Well, you can roll that around for a while. The second thing he asked for, got to get rolling here. And don't anybody leave early because I want to give you something at the end of the service, okay? But the second thing he says is, enlarge my territory. I love what the Message Bible says. It says, expand my boundaries. The Message Bible says, give me land, large tracts of land. Zobel, you had a few of those in your life. So he wants to give us some that we get to keep, man. I've had some, but don't have them now. But you know what? I'm on my second go around here, man. I learned some tricks the first time. I learned some of the things the enemy did the first go around. He's not going to be near as successful with me the next go around. You alive? See, you're not getting excited because you just don't believe I'm talking to you, but I'm talking to you. God's talking to you. The Holy Spirit's talking to you. And you just have to let him say, well, what is prosperity? Prosperity is being the next step up from where you are. Prosperity isn't being a millionaire like so-and-so or a billionaire like so-and-so. No, prosperity is making advance for today being further than I was yesterday. And if you learn that, hey, okay, I'm right here, God, but I want to take the next step. I got a nice house, but I want to buy one. God, you've let me get a nice house, but I want to pay for it. You see, it's a process. It's a working. I'm not trying to tell you something today that you just like the magic lamp and you rub it. I'm trying to tell you about a walk with God. And as you walk with God, something starts happening. He said, enlarge my boundaries, enlarge my territories. But he's saying, enlarge my life so I can make a bigger impact for you, God. Enlarge my territory, Father, so I can have more influence, more responsibility, more opportunity to make a bigger mark for you, Lord. Holy Spirit, please help us hear this. Let me read you out of, does that line up with the Word in Isaiah? In Isaiah 54? Now, you ought to study Isaiah 54 for a while. This is the one where he says, just like I promised Noah, I wouldn't destroy with water anymore. I'm promising you I'll never be mad at you, and I'll never say my covenant of peace will never leave you. But he starts off here. See verses 52 and 3, God's saying, I'm going to send Jesus. 53, he's telling the things that Jesus went through. And 54, he's telling us about a perpetual covenant of peace that comes after Jesus comes. How many know Jesus already came? Okay. But he starts off here and he said, sing, you who are not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud. Drops down, he just says things in here, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you ought to go home and read it this week. He says, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations. How big's God thinking? He's saying express, talking, and he goes on and says, this is who's saying this, your maker, the Lord your God. So what's Jabez crying here? God, stretch me. Stretch my territory, stretch my boundaries. Prepare me to handle more, God. Prepare me to handle what you're going to give me. What you're in the process of giving me. Can you hear Abraham praying? Lord, Lord, increase my territory. And God says, okay, Abraham, look out there. As far as you can see, to the north and the south and the east, and the west, as far as you can see, Abraham, I'm giving it to you. Oh, Lord, stretch my territory. Increase my territory, stretch my boundaries. He said, okay, Abraham, start walking. Every place your foot touches belongs to you. Oh, folks, this doesn't do any good as long as we have it up here, but it'll do some good when we start acting it out. I could tell this real quick. I don't have time to tell too many stories. But one morning I had a car lot, and I kept buying property that was close to it, and there was a piece right across the street that I wanted. I wanted this piece of property, and so I'd prayed and I'd asked God. And one morning about daylight, God woke me up. And showed me this scripture where he said, wherever place the sole of your foot touches. And he said, go over there and walk around that property. Now, can you see this idiot at daylight? I was praying, Lord, don't let whoever lives in this house wake up and look out the window. And I walked around that property and I said, Father, every place my foot touches is mine. I'm claiming this. I'm thanking you for it. And I'm giving you praise for it ahead of time. I'm calling those things that aren't there. And I kept walking around that property. And you know what? I couldn't even find out who owned that property for months and months. And within 2 weeks, And when I was walking around it, I got a figure. I said, you know, I'd probably give $8,000 or $10,000 for this property. And I had a figure in my mind. And within 2 weeks, a gentleman walked in my office and said, do you want to buy that property across the street? And I don't even know where he was from. He wasn't from Joplin. He said, do you want to buy that property across the street? And I said, well, yeah, I might. How much is it? He said, I need some cash. I don't need closing finances, and I don't need all that stuff, and I don't need you having to go get stuff. He said, I just need some cash. He said, could you give me $7,000 for it? What am I saying? I'm saying get your faith activated. Get your faith activated. Oh, but that's silly, Hank. I know the things of God seem silly to the natural mind, but God wants to do something in your life that's so big that nobody in the earth has ever seen it before. See, we get a there's 30, 60, and 100-fold in that message of what the Word produces, and we get a 30%. If we're lucky in life, we get a 30%. And we just think, whoo, that's good. But let me tell you something. Nobody's seen the 100% yet. Who volunteers to be the first one? Okay. Now, the ones of you that shot your hand up, get ready. But the ones you just come. That isn't the way Jabez prayed. Bless me, God, and bless me a bunch. And increase my territory. I want to be more for you. Do you understand that the more you have, the bigger platform you have for God? The more influence you have, the bigger platform you have. The more position you have, the bigger platform. If you'll go after everything like it is a platform for you to bring people to the Lord, then your platform will get big. It'll get big. Now I'm going to tell you, on the way, When it starts coming to you, it starts happening so fast that if you don't watch it, the enemy will take you on the pinnacle and he'll show you all the kingdoms of the earth. And he'll say, man, I'll give you this if you'll just go this way. But you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. You got to keep your heart trusting him. You got to keep your eyes watching him. And you got to keep the spiritual ears hearing him. And he'll lead you and guide you into all truth. Can't you hear Isaac saying, oh, God, bless me, enlarge my territory. God says, okay, the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks and female and male servants and camels and donkeys. Did I say Jacob or Isaac? Isaac's going, Lord, increase my territory. And says the man began to be prosperous. He began to prosper and continue prospering until he became very prosperous. Who's ready to just begin? Don't worry about where you're going. God knows where you're going. Just begin. Just begin. Father, everything you do in my life, I'm gonna find a way to do it to increase your kingdom. I'm gonna find a way to use it to touch people's lives. I'm gonna find a way. Anything you do, any position, any wealth, anything you give me, God, anything in my life you make bigger, I'm gonna use it for you. Y'all try to be all you can be. Young people, y'all try to be all you can be. Get that education. Wouldn't it be nice if God had some lawyers that were trying to advance the kingdom? Wouldn't it be nice if he had some doctors that were trying to advance the kingdom? Whatever profession you choose. Enlarge my ability to serve you. We've got to move fast here. Next thing Jabez prayed was, he said, that your hand would be with me. In all through the Old Testament, the hand of the Lord was the phrase that was used for God's power and his presence in their lives. When the hand of the Lord was on them. When the hand of the Lord was on them. Lord, put your hand on me. That means give me your presence. Give me your power. And every time his hand was on them, they wrote a chapter or two about him. Whoever it was. You with me? He's wanting to write some chapters for you. He's wanting to write some chapters from you. Some of you, he's already started the chapters, he just hadn't gotten much written. See, I got some blank pages in my chapter, but I'm gonna start filling them up. You with me? Well, I just want to go to heaven. Well, go on and get out of everybody's way. He didn't create us for heaven. He created us for this earth to occupy, to have dominion. Now, if we die because the curse is still in the land, when we die, we're going to go to heaven. We're going to be with Him. But we ain't staying there. We're coming back. I tell people, learn it now or learn it then. But you'll be ahead of the game if you go ahead and learn it now. So I just never heard anybody preach like this. Well, let me tell you something. I'm not a preacher. I'm a talker. And all I'm doing is going after God's heart and His presence in my life, and then I'm going to come in here and talk to you about it. I tried to preach for years and years. Some of you know it, and you know how bad a preacher I was. Now I'm just talking. Because I'm going to be talking when Jesus comes and gets me. I'm going to be talking about how good He is. I'm going to be talking about how glorious He is. I'm going to be talking about what He's doing, not about what the devil's doing. Well, where'd that come from? Jabez is saying, God, give me your power. Give me your presence. That's like what Moses was saying. I want all of you, God. It's okay. Tell me I'm good in your sight and I've found favor and grace in your sight. That's great. That's words. I want to see it. I want to experience it. I want to be able to use it for your glory. In the New Testament, the phrase for His hand on you is being filled with the Spirit. Because unlike the Old Testament, God doesn't just come and be on you. Now He comes and be's in you. Jesus said, you just continue in my word. You just do what I say. And me and Daddy will come live inside of you. Now I just got this nugget this morning, so I'm not going to elaborate on it. But the Bible says that it says that you are the temple of God, right? Well, then you ought to go back and see how He told Solomon to build that temple. He didn't say get no secondhand stuff. He didn't say get no little feeble stuff. He said no. He brought the best stuff in the whole world. You're the temple of God. As far as He's concerned, you're the best stuff in the whole world. When the devil tries to tell you different, you just need to laugh at him. Just laugh at him. Don't even engage him. Just laugh at him. And if you really want to get him, read some of this word back to him. I can see him as Jesus said it's written. He goes, that's how I see him when I start to talk to him now. Get behind me, you dirty dog. Get off my people. Get out of their life. Take that sickness on back with you. Quit talking about your sickness. Start talking about your answer. Somebody, you're not going to get rid of fear by telling people. You're going to get rid of fear by talking to God about it. Okay, and fear is the only thing that's holding any of us back. It's what they told me when I got off the plane in Vietnam. They said, hey, there's only two things over here holding you back, and that's fear and air. And he said, there's not that much air. Anyway. That your hand would be on me. Do you understand? Father is waiting for one of us to dare to ask Him, God, let me be all that You want me to be. Billy Graham did that one time in a tent meeting. The rest was history. And if you'd go to him, if you'd go to him and talk to him today, he'd say, "Oh, I just would like to be a better servant." Why? Because, man, the more God does in your life, the more you see is available. And we haven't even touched this thing. God said, "Hank, I want somebody. I want somebody to dare to be bold enough to ask me and receive it and come after me with all their heart. I want to show some things that I've never got to show on the earth before." Told Jesus, said, "Sit down here at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Sit down here at my right hand till we show the devil some things." Well, has anybody here the devil shown you anything? Nobody? Don't you think it's time we start showing him some stuff? Let me tell you what this book says. Let me tell you. Now, we're talking about the kind of prayer that moves God. Jabez, set your hand to be on me. God's waiting. He's waiting for somebody. I love 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him." I want it, Father. Oh, I want to be all that you want me to be. God, I don't want nobody to go to hell. I don't want anybody to miss you. Are you watching, Lord? My heart, I'm trying to get my heart there. Are you watching? Says Cliff, "I want to do something bigger in your life than you ever dreamed. I want to do something exceedingly abundantly above anything you've ever thought, let alone ask." Jabez caught God's attention because he was asking God for something that God promised. In Numbers 13 or 14, when the spies went into the promised land, what did he call the 10 spies report? He called that the evil report. What did he call Joshua and Caleb's report? He called that the good report. Why did he call that the good report? Because they came back from there saying the same thing God said. They came back saying the promise that God had promised them. And they said, "God promised it to us. We can take it." You're not asking, "Oh God, would you do this?" No, find out what he said and say it. "Father, you said it and I believe it and I receive it. And I'm not going to settle for anything less." "Well, I don't know, Brother Hank, if I could be that bold or not." Well, okay, then just sit down for a while. When you see some of the rest of us start doing it, you'll want to do it too. But my question today is, who's going to be one of the first? Oh, got a few hands. You're learning. Bill, we know how to get some wealth, but now we just got to figure out how to get it so the Lord can use it, huh? And don't worry about it, man. You'll have more left over than you can do anything with. I was going to do some example. I don't have time. Lord, that your hand would be with me. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Lord, I'm asking you for something so big that failure is inevitable if you don't show up and have your power in my life. See this, God, I'm out on the limb. Oh, Jabez is saying, "God, what I've asked you for is bigger than me. So will you keep your hand on me? keep leading me and guiding me. What do we say? God, all these blessings are coming on me and overtaking me. Father, would you keep me filled with your Spirit? Holy Spirit, would you keep leading me and guiding me? Show me which step to take next. Lead me and guide me into all the truth that God has for me. Well, where are we at here? Final thing he says, and I got to hurry here. He says that you would keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. Or in other words, Father, would you protect me from evil and don't let it hurt me? Now, God was just as excited about Jabez asking him to bless him, asking him to increase his territory, asking him for his hand to be on him. He was just as happy for Jabez to say, now, God, would you protect me? You know, when God starts blessing you and you're increasing your territory, your boundaries are stretching out, you're stepping into new revenue. Whose turf do you think you're stepping into? Jesus called him the God of this world. Do you think he's going to give it up without a fight? Huh? See, big success just means big opportunities for failure. But it's not how many times you fail. It's not how many times you fall down. It's how many times you get up. I got a little book. I need to go back and read it. I hadn't read it in years. I just thought about it. It says fail forward. Huh? If you're going to fall forward. Well, if you're going to fail, just fail forward. Ooh, man, I'm thinking of all kinds of good stuff to tell y'all. When his goodness begins to flow through you, the enemy's not going to just sit there. But let me tell you something now. You can't fight him with a natural way. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Put on my armor so you can stand against all the wiles of all the tricks of the devil. Are you with me? I'm not saying be afraid. I'm saying, no, man, just roll your sleeves up and say, okay, what's next, Father? Huh? If you have to swing, he'll guide your hand and show you where to swing. Oh, man. Keep your hand on me, Father. Don't let me do the things that I hurt myself with. Don't let me fall into temptation. You know, the devil knows exactly how every trick to get us. He knows your button to push, and he's pushed it. He knows how to get to your emotions and your feelings. He knows how to get to you through past experiences. He knows how to move you and get you off center, get you off faith. Because all things are possible to him who can believe. His only weapon is to get you or me out of faith. I don't have time to develop this like I wanted to, but so I just keep moving and I keep trusting him. And I keep putting my faith in what Jesus did. And I'm not afraid of him. Because when he comes, when he steals something from me, Proverbs 6:31 says he has to give it back sevenfold. So, okay, you stole $100 from me, you got to give me back $700. You stole $1,000 from me, you got to give me back $7,000. You stole $10,000 from me, in Jesus' name. Read them that scripture. Put a demand on that scripture. I love Colossians 2, 13 and 15. Says, God made us alive together with Christ, and having disarmed all principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them on the cross. Hey, that's my Jesus I'm talking about. That's my friend. That's my best friend. Huh? I got to do a funeral tomorrow, and God says, well, just go up there and tell them about your best friend. I said, okay, I'll do that. God granted Jabez all that he had requested. Have you requested anything? If you hadn't, get busy. You know what I do? I request it. By faith, I receive it. I consider it done if I got Scripture on it. I've been giving y'all Scripture for 3 weeks or 4 weeks on just nothing but God blessing you. I receive it. And I look at it like that's settled. I go on and start doing something else. I go on and start believing for something else. Huh? Why? I sowed that seed. Now I'm going to believe for something else. I'm not going to sit there and keep digging the seed up. Well, when's it going to happen, God? When's it going to happen? No, His Word won't come back void. And sometimes I've even planted the right seed and He grew the right plant. Or the wrong seed and He grew the right plant. Well, Jabez, a prayer that moves God. Bless me, Father, and bless me big. Enlarge my territory. Give me a bigger platform, God, so that I can make a bigger mark for You. Oh, and Father, whatever You do, keep Your hand on me. Keep me filled with Your Spirit. Keep me overflowing. I can't do this without You. I got to have You. Because I'm believing for bigger things than I am. I don't know how to do them, but You do. Keep Your hand on me. Oh, and Father, keep the evil one away. Keep him away. Jesus said it. He said, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the garden, He said, Father, if there's any way, let this pass from me. If he doesn't eliminate it, He'll show you how to walk through it. And when you walk through that furnace, you won't even smell like smoke. Bless me. Enlarge me. Keep Your hand on me. Protect me from the evil one. Well, it's a powerful little book. I tell you, I want about four or five guys or six guys to come here real quick. I want everybody, every family in here to have one of these little books of Jabez, Prayer of Jabez. Get some of those and start. Now, if you're single, then you're a family. But I'd like, you know, if you would, just to make sure we got enough, and looks like we'll probably have enough. But if every family'd have one, and we might want to give our nursery workers one there too. So, anyway, but everybody get one. Now listen, this wasn't exactly my idea. I wanted to sow something into you, and that's when God brought this up. I couldn't even find my book of Jabez. My prayer of Jabez had been so long since I'd seen it. So I'm sowing this. I just want to give you something. Okay? But now this is the thing. Some that receive this book, it's going to kind of be like the wayside. You know, and you just kind of get home and throw it on the table there, on the shelf, and yeah, I'm going to read that, or maybe even forget it in the car. Or we'll probably come through here in the morning and find some that people have forgotten in the seats. So some's just going to fall by the wayside, because the devil doesn't want you to do what God's going to do in your life if you let Him. And then, but there's going to be some that's going to be, these books are going to be sown on stony ground. And, you know, and you're going to kind of read through it, but you don't really believe it happened for you. Stony ground. And then there's going to be some of you that go, whoo, can't hardly wait to read this. And you're all excited. And I read this and read this and read this. But then all the stuff that's going on around me, all the issues in my life, all the thorns are going to choke this out. And you're never going to get around to doing what something inside here told you to do, because the roots just aren't, it's stony ground, thorny ground. But then there's going to be somebody, are you listening? Going to be somebody that reads this book. Now at the end of this little book, Dave Wilkerson challenges everybody that reads it to pray this prayer for 30 days. I challenge you to pray this prayer for 30 days. And to read this book at least once a week for the next 4 weeks, maybe twice. And just see what the Holy Spirit, now you take some of the things I said today, because I didn't talk about what was in the book. So you still got the good part coming, see? But there's going to be somebody. And I believe God's promised me this. There's going to be somebody. It's going to produce 100-fold in your life. Huh? Now 30's great. The 60's great. And you'll be overwhelmed. But there's going to be somebody. And can I say this? There needs to be a couple of somebodies. There needs to be a few of somebodies. So the rest of us can see it working, and then we'll want to. Did y'all all get a book? Okay. Why don't we, somebody take some, make sure the nursery, G, did the nursery people in the nursery get one? Make sure they get it. And wouldn't hurt to let our children's church workers have one too. God's just waiting for somebody, waiting for somebody to say, God, do all you want to in me. Do all you want to with me. Now, it isn't, this isn't going to work because you rub it like a lamp. This isn't giving you 4 wishes. But if you can spark your faith to believe the promises of God, keep your heart going after Jesus. Keep your eyes focused on Him. Keep your spiritual ears tuned into Him, because His sheep will hear His voice. Father, I've done all I know to do today, and I know that isn't enough, but it isn't up to me. It's up to you, Holy Spirit. I'm believing you to dump out blessings on your children. Make those blessings so abundant that we don't know what to do with them, that we're overtaken. Let those blessings be so miraculous and so abundant that they just overflow. The excess just overflows onto everybody that gets around us. When I started doing this, and I haven't committed to the 30 days yet, but I'm doing it today. When I first started praying this prayer, you didn't know it, Paul. Paul called me up and wanted to be saved. People aren't supposed to call you to get saved. You're supposed to have to go out there and cram the Bible down their throat and shake them. And when I started praying this and believing this, started thinking about this and meditating on what to say, I started seeing miracles happening. But I've kind of been putting it off because I want us all to take this journey together. And so I'm expecting to hear some stuff. Already been hearing some stuff the last few weeks, but I'm expecting to hear some stuff. And I'm expecting to be able to tell you some stuff. How about that? God, yeah, give God some praise. He loves you. You're important to Him. Everybody stand. Everybody in here pray something with me. I'm so excited. I got a do a friend's funeral tomorrow, and I wasn't sure if he was saved, and somebody told me a while ago that he was saved. So now I'm so excited, I can't hardly wait till tomorrow. Thank you, Steve, for telling me that, man. Everybody in here pray something with me. Lord, I want to be saved. I give you my life. I want to live it for you. I need your help. Do something with my life. And I'll praise you for it and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, when we get done here, come on down.